to the Mock Stars Podcast, the number one podcast on the internet for Magic the Gathering and Dr. Pepper. Welcome to the show. I am Menace, one of your hosts, and I'm here with Flash. What is up?
Did you play the sound effect, which I don't hear?
I did.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, the funny thing is that the sound effect is actually pretty long. And so, you know, when I play it and you say something, it's usually loud enough to where, like, you know, it overshadows you a little bit. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, whatever.
I'll give you, I don't know, one day we'll figure it out where you can hear it and then react appropriately.
That's okay. I hear the sound effect in my memory palace.
The good old memory palace. Welcome to the show, everybody. This is going to be a great episode. I have a feeling about it. If you'd like to support the show, you can do so by finding us on YouTube, where we have 388 subscribers. So go ahead and hit that like, subscribe, and ring that bell for more notifications. Let's get to 400. And you can also support us on all major podcasting platforms like... what's that really popular one? Beans with an Ass. Spotify, where you can leave us a comment and engage with us there as well. We're also pretty much everywhere, so you can find us there. Leave us a 5-star review, make us look super duper cool. You can also support us via Patreon by becoming an official Pepperhead for $3 a month. You can gain access to each of our bi-weekly giveaways, which will be happening next episode. And you can also become a Cherry Vanilla Pepperhead like Will Rule, K Mr. K, UWP Quirks, Demon 82, Tommy Cypher, Jacob Hibbard, The Boogie Ghost, Pool Boy Barry, Draw for Turn, KB, maybe Jeremy, maybe Anthony. For $5 a month, become a Cherry Vanilla Pepperhead and get 2 entries into each of our bi-weekly giveaways. And you can, the solo, the throne holder, Ravenlift, is hanging out in the Mock Stars Dr. Pepper Lounge, accumulating those hats.
Yeah.
Yep. And on their way to receiving the one of one bucket, which still in production. Every month that goes by, another patch is woven, and it is slowly being constructed.
I just want to clarify, it's a bucket hat. They're not receiving a bucket.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't gonna like put a pail on their head or anything, you know, like.
Although, yeah, what about Buckethead, the guitarist?
No, I think a bucket is a hat. If you imagine that it can be.
I mean, if you're in your memory palace, anything can be a hat.
Anything. I'm looking around the house now. You're telling me that my Vitamix blender top can be a hat?
Are you in your memory palace?
I am now.
Okay, then yes.
Ooh. All right. You know what I need? I need a little Dr. Pepper in this coffee this morning. Really jolt me awake.
Those beans.
Yeah, grind them beans, combine them with the 23 crisp flavors, the nectar of the gods, and achieve limitless pill status. I haven't had 2 consecutive Dr. Peppers in my system since I fell ill. And I think it's about time to
maybe
change
that's the problem.
That's true. You know, Bradley Cooper was never ill in that film until he stopped achieving the limitless status or like that state of mind. So I think it's all comes down to expanding those neural pathways achieves a healthy, longer life. And then slowly weaning yourself off and being constant. You know, if you've seen the movie, you know how the story goes. This is that story. That's our lives.
Now, the movie we're talking about is Space Jam 2.
Yeah, with Don Cheadle and LeBron, his fake family, the Tasmanian Devil, the Iron Giant. Mm-hmm. Vin Diesel's not in that movie, but he's part of the movie. Like, he was security. He's the bouncer at the door for when, you know, ruffians try to get in.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the little bones in my face, the whirring gears in the mouth.
The whirring gears in my mouth. Family.
I'm going to need you to, yeah, family. Nothing's better, stronger than family. Do it's, you know, this podcast being about Dr. Pepper and Magic the Gathering and all that, there were some things that did happen this week in Magic. And
can I just say real quick that in the Fast and Furious Hobbs and Shaw meta, family is just like S tier.
Yeah, there's nothing stronger. Nothing. Like, and I think that when
it's an auto include. Family is an auto include in that meta.
For all those, like, all the players in CDH that are about, or that are here in the Pacific Northwest, you know, that group with, like, Atlas and Tortoth and all those guys, right? I see them as the Fast and Furious crew. Because they are such a tight-knit family, and it's why whenever they go to an event, they're literally like six of the eight at the, like, or like I would say almost like 10 of the 16 at the, like, at Final Cut. It's crazy.
And but, doesn't Atlas drive a supercharged Dodge Charger just like Dom?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah, is it a Hell, like not a Hellcat, but like the 69, yeah, matte black. Yeah, it's really, it is true. It is awesome. One hell of a car. Building the Legend of Atlas. But Wizards of the Coast got some of my money this week, Flash.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm sad about it. Because it was too good of a deal. And if you didn't know, it's hard to know about these things unless you sign up for secret layer alerts like I am, because I like to keep my ear to the ground listening for Buffalo. The fairest of all foil drop came out. It was on 12/10. So December 10th, it dropped, and it is a one-time 2-day window or something. So the vault will have closed by the time you listen to this episode, but it's that whole like FOMO, very limited window opportunity that they initially did with Secret Lair, where it's like, hey, you got to get it now. You have, you know, limited time, blah, 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 blah. But it's an enchantment based Bant package with one Estrid's Invocation, Steely Resolve, Estrid the Mast, and Tuvasa the Sunlit. So these are some classic enchantment cards, four cards, and they have it on a discount for $25, and it's only in foil, no non-foil nonsense. And they all look like sort of like tarot cards. They're pretty cool. They're on screen now. If you're on YouTube, you can see them there. The Estrid's Invocation, the Steely Resolve, the Estrid the Mast is probably the most confusing one, just because it's a planeswalker that you have to look on the back of the card if you want to see its loyalty abilities. But the artwork is really nice, and the Tuvasa the Sunlit as well, a really nice card, a classic Bant commander that is not necessarily like CDH or anything like that, but definitely has draw a card written on it, so it's you know, a good commander for that reason. Check it out. If you, I'll have to put it on the Discord today, on the day of recording, so that people can get out there and get their own. But the one thing that was super bummervilles for me was Wizards of the Coast got some of my money. Yeah, that's one bummer. The other bummer is that even though it's discounted to $25, I added it to my cart and I did not want to spend $100 to get free shipping. So I just paid for the shipping. And after
shipping,
and after tax, the whole thing cost me $40 anyway. So I felt
should have bought four of them.
I know. I felt, well, you can't. That's the thing about these Chaos Vault drops. It is one per customer. That is it. And so, like, it keeps track of, like, you know, you logged in,
put together a team, got to do a heist.
All right, Dom Toretto, calm down over there, man. We don't even have an objective yet. Wait. Family. All right.
Family.
I can all, no, it's almost,
I can do.
It's almost like I can hear the gears in your mouth. All right.
Get in the world.
What's the name of the... I don't know. I started thinking about the series and then Dwayne The Rock Johnson popped in my head and I just... And that image just wouldn't leave my brain. So... Yeah, The Rock's
Red
in the
One
movies.
In theaters now.
Yes. I haven't seen it yet. I don't know. I hope it's a good movie.
It's. I'm told that it is not. Almost unanimously.
Heard that. I'm going to go
it
see...
It is a huge... As of this recording... a huge flop.
Heard that. I figured the muscular snowmen on the beach would have ruined, you know, like would have done it.
Mm-hmm. It's probably going to do numbers on streaming, which is kind of what it was made for. But yeah.
Yeah. Straight to streaming. Like just like straight to VHS back in the day. Today.
You know what? That's what happens when you turn your back on family.
You go straight to VHS.
Straight to VHS.
Yeah. You know what? I miss those days going through Walmart and seeing those like huge caged racks full of just like DVDs and VHS. And you just spend time digging through and you see like the double feature Big Daddy Waterboy DVD in there. And you're like, it's $7. I should buy this. These are two really good movies.
I mean, I feel like you can still get that feeling at your local 7-Eleven. Doesn't 7-Eleven still have a random display of DVDs?
No, not the one near me. I have one right,
oh, man.
Right down the street, yeah. They just have been supplying me with my cough drops lately and Buffalo Chicken Rollers. Tasty. Tasty little logs of chicken, processed chicken meat.
Hey. That's what this podcast is about. Taste little logs of processed chicken meat.
And Dr. Pepper. All right. It's funny that this Secret Lair is all about enchantments because today our breakdown is actually pretty much, well, based around enchantments. Today we are...
Or is it? Spoiler. Spoiler for the conversation.
Oh, ho, ho.
How based around enchantments is it?
You dirty dog.
How based around enchantments could it be?
How could it be? But it's... People have decided that not to, but mm-hmm. Today we're talking about the Master of Keys, doing
Master
a little
of keys,
little bit of CDH breakdown. Flash, I know you hate it when I poke at you and I say, "Hey, read this card." Do you have Master of Keys in front of you right now?
Yeah, it's white, blue, black, X, legendary enchantment creature, horror, flying, 3/3. Enchantments in your graveyard are family.
They are. That is a new mechanic printed with this card exclusively. If you didn't know what family is when in reference to Magic cards, it means that they can escape from the graveyard. They have plot armor and that in order to escape them from your graveyard, you must exile 3 other cards and pay its mana cost. That's actually a pretty sweet mechanic. This is, if you haven't seen it yet, there's a Secret Lair drop that has not been spoiled, but it is a Fast and the Furious Dom Toretto as the Master of Keys because he has like a ton of cars and it's just artwork with him with like, it's a keychain. It's got tons of car keys on it.
Yeah, I feel like he often hotwires cars or like hacks into cars.
It's funny. You never.
A lot of the time.
Go ahead.
He needs a key. Like, I don't think he retrofitted the charger, like, to have, like, keyless entry.
Like a, yeah, or like a push to start or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's crazy. I've never seen them once have, like, never be like, hey, follow me, and then toss a set of keys to, like, you know, to Paul Walker and be, you know, even in the early days, maybe in the early days, he, like, threw some keys at him and he had to catch them, like, right out of the air, like he caught a fly with chopsticks. Mm-hmm. You know, like they don't show car keys.
A Dominic Toretto Master of Keys would be so good.
Yeah. And fitting. The man does have flying.
Mm-hmm.
Flying through them streets.
The Charger flies through the air. Indeed. Have you seen some of the stuff it's done in the later films?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. They've been in space. It all went all the way to space. Did you hear that they wanted to bring the franchise back to street racing? That's space news. Racing. Yeah. I don't know. That's I think they've gone too far. family can do anything. They can bring it back. But anyway, Master Keys, each enchantment card in your graveyard has family, escape. The escape cost equal to the card's mana cost plus exile three other cards from your graveyard. The Master Keys also enters the battlefield with X plus one counters on it, and you mill twice X cards. So right away, I mean, one of each color, you get a 3/3 flyer that gives your enchantments in your graveyard the Underworld Breach treatment or the Dom Toretto family treatment. And it
feeds the ability to proc that.
Yeah. Yep. If you decide to pay into X, like, boom, it can be mana efficient as like you can be mana efficient. Like, oh, I don't have any more plays, or oh, I have a Fierce Guardianship. I can just feed 5 mana into this now, get 4 cards into my graveyard. And sort of like hope that I hit something. Four cards in your graveyard's probably the ideal, right? Because that gives you at least one cast of an enchantment from your graveyard, which, you know, when it comes down to it, I think that as I was looking through a lot of these results with Master of Keys, they're sad. It's kind of sad how much conversation this deck has proc'd, but how poorly it has performed in like nationwide results. So like the top placement, this deck out of all of the tournaments that have existed, like has not finished first once. It hasn't even gotten to the final table once. Just let that set in. It's just crazy where this card, this commander, when it came out, everyone, and now on Reddit, whenever it comes down to like, what's the best off meta commander right now? And a lot of people are like, it's Master of Keys. Hands down, it is that. Okay, then if it is, why is it not performing the way that it is being talked about? And it's just a little upsetting to like see it has such a, you know, high regard, but then, you know, look at the results and not see anything, but then look even further into the deck list and notice that while the deck list we're going to be looking at today has some unique cards, it is mostly just Esper pile of good stuff. And it saddens me, man, because like this is a commander that for me, Menace, I really care about enchantments. I love them. This particular creature is an enchantment and it cares about enchantments. So why are we not building? Why is it not a build around? And why are we not like focusing in on or like using the commander to magnify the power that is possible with it? So that is what, when we go through and we break it down, we'll suggest a few cards, a few mechanics that might help push people, you know, to help this get the, you know, go the distance. But right now it's like this commander, this concept, while it, this, the words on the card are sexy because it says the same exact thing as Underworld Breach, except you don't sacrifice it at the end step, even better, which we'll get into. But it's like, it's, there's so much power to be had here. Just lean in. Just lean in. For the love of God, put some fucking enchantments in the deck. All right.
Wow, you're gassed up.
Well, yeah. I mean, man, it's like, well, in Esper, yes, you don't have...
You hit the Nas.
I did. The blue fuels were going through the pipes and it hit the engine, man. It caused an explosion, a turbo fueled induced argument here. The Planeswalker, the sole Planeswalker in this list is Teferi Time Raveler. While it is great, a Grand Abolisher of sorts, each opponent can only cast spells anytime they could cast a sorcery. It also enters with 4 loyalty and +1 until your next turn. You may cast sorceries as though they had flash, and then -3, return up to 1 target artifact, creature, or enchantment to its owner's hand. Draw a card. Now, this is a combo piece with Displacer Kitten, so obviously Displacer Kitten is here in the list for no other purpose. Those two, they just exist here. And this is part of my disgust with Esper good stuff. It's just that those exist. They are going to be there. The effects are good enough. And it, as long as you have a mana rock, something that goes mana positive or mana neutral, you're going to draw every card in your library. That's what the combo is. You take Teferi out on the battlefield. As long as it's on the battlefield the same time as Displacer Kitten, you return a rock that is mana neutral or mana positive, like Sol Ring, and you play it infinitely using Displacer Kitten to flicker the Teferi, and then you draw a card, resetting its loyalty, blah, 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 pick up everything, and, you know, I guess potentially use Thassa's Oracle to win. Maybe? Question mark? You know, that's one of the win cons for the deck, and it's so, I wouldn't say that it's easy to assemble. It is definitely something that is protected. It is hard to interact with, and so it is worthwhile, especially when, like, you are able to use Master of Keys to mid-range your way to the win, where you can use something like Animate Dead or Dance of the Dead to pull the Displacer Kitten out of the graveyard after it's milled, or something of the like. But Teferi, if it goes to the grave, there aren't a whole lot of, like, if you accidentally mill it, there aren't a whole lot of ways to get it back. You know, it's one of those things where it's somewhat fragile, but due to the nature of the commander. So that is the Sol Planeswalker in the list. As we go into creatures, this is where it just, this is a pile of cards. It's a pile of Esper cards. But Esper Sentinel, you need it. It is one of the best card draw engines in white that has ever existed, ever. Dranith Magistrate, auto include Grand Abolisher here. I'm not so sure this is, for me, I'm not so sure this is an auto include for me anymore. Grand Abolisher. Consider me a bad CDH player, but it is on the chopping block for me sometimes in order to put in the fun, dumb stuff that I want to test, right? And like Grand Abolisher, after you've tested the dumb stuff, after you've tested what strategy you want to magnify and the line you want to pursue, cut the other stuff away after you've determined the line and plug the Grand Abolisher back in. Because then, yes, you can set yourself up for protected lines. But while you're practicing, Grand Abolisher just, and you go, man, I could have won if I had a Grand Abolisher. Like, cool. Tech it in after you figured out your lines. So Grand Abolisher is here.
You got a lot of hot takes this app.
I know, right? I don't know. Like, it's one, I took Grand Abolisher out of Shalayan Halar in favor of Kutzeal, because I put in Birthing Pod and I put in a couple other things. So like, it works better as like Kutzeal works better for me in that scenario. And, for me in this, it's like it's not an enchantment creature, you know, it doesn't really, you would have to reanimate it if it ends up in the graveyard due to the commander's ability, or, you know, just happen to have it in hand and put it down on the field and hope that it just goes uninteracted with. So, or when you put it down, you, all the sirens go off and people interact with you in that moment. So it's, Grand Abolisher has won me as many games as it has also lost me that many games, because when you play the Grand Abolisher and the alarms start going off and people go, here it goes. Here comes the win, right? They all interact with the Grand Abolisher and they make sure it doesn't land. And then when I push for the win, they stop it, or it just keeps me off the win. So I don't pursue it. and then the interaction has been spent on the Grand Abolisher, and so the next player wins the game. That is why I'm like, Grand Abolisher, sometimes just the threat of it landing later in the game is enough to make the table spend its interaction so that the next player wins. And it can provoke, I don't know. Yeah, it just provokes a level of attention that I don't think is always warranted. Like, you got to play it at the right time, sure. But yeah, anyway, hot takes galore today's episode. Next creature is Ledger Shredder. I think this is perfect for the deck. It allows you to basically loot every time someone it casts their second spell. Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
That makes you happy. Finally. Something in this deck brings you joy this holiday season.
I'm not always upset or about, you know, there are some cards that make me happy here. Ledger Shredder is one of them. I've really liked Ledger Shredder on release. You know,
you spec this card a bit?
Yeah, I mean, when it came out and they were pre-selling for like $7 a piece, I bought like 8 of them, and then they were like $30 for a long time, and so I just sold them all. I bought, well, they were the borderless foils from New Capenna is what I bought for 7 a piece. And man, best investment ever. Not ever. I have some pretty good investment stories. But those are the stories that you tell your kids when you get older. Man, that Ledger Shredder. I spec that thing so good. I made $100.
You're going to tell your kids about specking Ledger Shredder.
Probably.
Okay.
I don't know. Or that or Finale of Devastation. That's my most successful one. All right. Leonin Relic Warder. This is a combo piece, just as Abdel Adrian is with Anime Dead effects, where it comes in, you exile target artifact or enchantment, and it creates an infinite loop of death triggers and or ETB triggers. So this is the basis of an old deck called Razzicats, where the cat cleric here, Leona Relic Warder, and Animate Dead would allow you to basically drain the table for infinite life, and you'd win the game right there. That was an old Abzan strategy, and so now we're seeing it a little bit here in Esper. I don't know, like, this is the highest placing deck that we've seen, the most unique build that has been seen yet. I don't know how successful this is, if it's dead. You know, some of the time or whatever, but it does just straight up exile target artifact or enchantment until it leaves. So it might just be good at getting rid of like a Rhystic Study. You know, it's one of those things. It doesn't say exile target artifact or enchantment that you control. So it's cool that it can actually get rid of some card advantage engines on the field until you're ready to go for your win. And then you can get rid of it and reanimate it and get this loop going. Lotho is here. Great card. Great Esper, good pile stuff. Orcish Bowmasters as well. Another really good card. Malevolent Hermit. This is a choice by the pilot. They must really like this card. It's not bad. Like, I, you know, and it plays from the graveyard as well. So I think it feeds into that Master of Keys strategy where you can throw it into the graveyard and then disturb, use the disturb mechanic, cast it from your graveyard, and the non-creature spells you control can't be countered. So a bit of a stacks piece. I like it a lot. It's a good card here. Thassa's Oracle for the win. Luris, another card that interacts with the commander, you would hope. Can cast things like Animate Dead, Dance of the Dead, all that good stuff. Opposition Agent for stacks. Ranger Captain because it's good pile stuff. Oryak Salvagers. This is infinite mana with Lion's Eye Diamond from your graveyard. So, yeah, it's one in a white. Return target artifact card with converted mana cost one or less from your graveyard to your hand. It's a 4-mana creature, so it is quite an investment. But if you have the stars align and you mill Animate Dead and, you know, some of those things to your graveyard and Oryak Salvagers is there with Lion's Eye Diamond, it doesn't matter if you have a hand. because you are going to cast Master of Keys for infinite mana, you know, basically mill your entire library, and then you have access to it. So I don't like, I don't mind this. This is, it's on a similar level as Displacer Kitten and Teferi. You know, it still requires like two cards to come at the right time in order for it to like do its thing. And you also also has to be at the point where nobody can really interact with you. And then Displacer Kitten here and Abdel Adrian Gorion's Ward. I still can't believe this is an uncommon from Baldur's Gate, but Abdel Adrian, 5 mana human warrior. It's a 4/4 that when it enters the battlefield, exile any number of other non-land permanents you control until it leaves the battlefield. Create a 1/1 white soldier creature token for each permanent exiled this way. So you reanimate it, and then it exiles the enchantment that you use. So Animate Dead, Dance of the Dead. Use the ability to exile the enchantment that you use to animate it, and then it leaves. Abdel Adrian leaves. It comes back. You reanimate the Abdel Adrian. It comes back. You exile the enchantment, and then you create an infinite number of 1/1s and ETB triggers and death triggers all at the same time. So, or all in one process. And I think this is like the top end combo for all of these Master of Keys decks that has been seen. And if I were to, you know, like when I do put together the Menace brand Master of Keys Dom Toretto deck, like it'll probably be my top end too. Like there are a lot of 2-card combos in this list that are viable for this list. And I think that it's just like finding which one you want to pursue the most aggressively that'll lead to the most success. And I think that is what a lot of these decks are doing, is pursuing the Abdel Adrian line. All right. Flash, you like Abdel Adrian lines?
I do. I play them sometimes.
It's not bad. Not bad at all.
Yeah, I mean, if you're an Orzhov, like specifically those two colors, it's one of the viable lines.
Right.
Especially if you're already doing reanimation stuff. So.
Yeah. Sorceries, this is pretty, it's pretty bare, and I think for good reason. Imperial Seal, this just sets you up. Demonic Tutor, get it to hand. Sphinx Reclamation, there aren't any, like, you could play Intuition lines here, and Intuition is in this deck. And then Beseech the Mirror. So, Beseech the Mirror has Bargain, which I really, really, really like. I really like Bargain, and I wish there were more Bargain cards. Hopefully, someday, in a supplementary set, they will.
Yeah, have they spoken of whether that is limited to that to that set, or it's a mechanic that could be picked up in, say, Modern Horizons 4, or?
I mean, it'd be sick if it was, because I mean, right now it is limited to Wilds of Eldraine. But, you know, Beseech the Mirror being the most popular and the most powerful version of this.
Yeah, but there's just not anything like mechanically or just like in terms of its vibes that would limit it to just that set. Because like it, I mean,
I agree.
Yeah.
Like it Bargain for the uninitiated. Is you may sacrifice an artifact, enchantment, or token as you cast this spell. So it's very much this
like
window.
Outside that set, that maybe it is limited to black mana, because that's like the conceptually what black mana tends to do.
This one, right? Is limited to, they had cards in only Esper it was all 5 colors, but okay. Most of them came through black, blue, and white.
Okay.
So yeah. I just have it here focused on Esper, but Beseech the Mirror is, like I said, the most popular one, the one that is sought after the most. But there were a couple other cards that are interesting that have Bargain on them, like Farsight Ritual, which was like the supposed to be the replacement for like something like Memory Deluge or whatever. The 4 mana instant that allows you to look at so many cards. but it's got bargain, and it says, look at the top four cards of your library. If this spell was bargain, look at the top eight, put two of them in your hand and the rest on the bottom of your library in any order. And you can, so if it was bargain, you get to look at eight. It's an instant for four mana. I don't think this is viable in CDH. This is definitely a standard card, but it is interesting, the bargain mechanic, for the reason of this conversation, is because with your commander, there are a lot of enchantments that are powerful that, well, for very specific reasons, like Necropotence, like this deck is not on. There are no, like, Necropotence is not here because it exiles cards that go to your graveyard. Now, if you can find a way to, this is why I want more bargain mechanic stuff, but like find a way to cast something with bargain from your graveyard, like as an, you know, and then get rid of a Necropotence so you could keep feeding your graveyard. I think that would help take the deck up another level. I think the cards that currently exist at this time just are not strong enough, nor are they mana efficient enough. But it is a mechanic that I do hope they return to help push Master of Keys into a more creative build, into more like a design space that is, like you said, this is a design space with bargain that can be expanded on to make for, I don't know, maybe more fun builds in the future or more creative outlets for players in a way. Like Candy Grapple, one in a black instant that has bargain. Target creature gets -3/-3 until end of turn. Unless it was bargain, they get -5/-5. Yeah, I don't know. There's some stuff. And then back for seconds. Return up to two target creature cards from your graveyard to your hand. If the spell was bargain, you may put one of those cards with mana value 4 or less onto the battlefield instead for 3 mana. That's pretty good. All right. Bargain's cool. Wish it existed more of it in the game, but it doesn't. As we go,
but it might.
It just might. Just like that Dom Toretto secret lair, it might exist. Spoiler. So, instance, as we roll into it, this is the good stuff, right? This is your interaction suite. You have Pact Negation, Offer You Can't Refuse, which I don't really. I think Offer is on its way out in a way. Like,
really?
I don't think it's...
Hot take. Another hot take.
Another one. Yep.
Another one.
Another one. Hit me up. DJ Khaled. I just don't know if Offer does what it did at launch, like when it first came out. It was really great. I don't know if it's as good anymore. It is unconditional, in a way, like just non-creature spell, counter it, get two treasures, bada bang bada boom. I don't know. Dark Ritual, Demonic Consultation, Enlightened Tutor, Entomb, Flusterstorm, Into the Flood Maw, a new card that the gift mechanic, giving them a tapped fish to return an online permanent. That's pretty good rate. Tap fish usually doesn't matter. Sword, Swan, Silence, Mental Misstep, Vamp Tutor, Cabal Ritual, Psych Rift, Taint of Pact. These are all things you're using to interact with the table, keep the game alive. All Esper, good stuff. Set you up. Removal, yeah, good stuff. Here, there aren't really, like, outside of Offer, I think, like, this is all very pure, very good stuff here that I wouldn't really change too much of this. I personally am a big fan of Strix Serenade right now, so I would just swap that in, I think, and that's it. Somewhere. Find room for it. 22 instants. You could bump that up. 26. Somewhere. Well, that means you'd have to sacrifice your enchantments. You wouldn't need as many enchantments. It goes against the purpose of the deck.
Sometimes you can sacrifice enchantments.
Sometimes. If you bargain hard enough. All right. Artifacts. Chrome Mox, Lion's Eye Diamond, Lotus Petal, Mox Amber, Mox Diamond. These are those mana positive or mana neutral rocks that allow you to go infinite with Teferi and Displacer Kitten, Mox Opal, Mana Vault, Soul Ring, Arcane, Felwar. These are all, since you're not in Mana Dork land, you know, you're not in your, what's that, the palace in your brain? What's that called?
Memory Palace.
The Memory Palace. If you're not in green, you're not in the Memory Palace. You don't have Mana Dorks. So you have to use artifacts to make up for that. And these talismans do that. The Wishclaw Talisman and also One Ring here to proc card advantage. So some of these combo pieces are potential. Like, obviously, Mox Amber is really great. It is also a dead card until you put your commander onto the battlefield. There are two other legendary creatures, three other legendary creatures that you could potentially have activate Mox Amber, but I think this is more here for the Teferi line than anything. Enchantments, my favorite section. All right, let's get into the nitty gritty here. Mr. Grimora, I think this is the best card in the deck. Like, by far. You can sacrifice it at every upkeep and then just recast it with your commander. It's like, I think that's, it's just one of those cards that gets, it's already one of the best cards. It's an auto include in blue already. And then you get to, you know, just like abuse it, never really pay the cumulative upkeep, and then just keep bringing it back, or pay for it a couple times and then let it go. When the cost gets down, you just recast it again, and it just keeps, it's something that stays alive for the entirety of the game instead of just being like an early game engine. So I really like that. Along with Mr. Grimora, you can also imagine that you're in blue, so you're playing Rhystic Study. It's also here, ready to go. Static Prison is another enchantment from Modern Horizons 3 that cares about energy, but it will go away if you can't pay energy to keep it around. So it would be really cool if you sacrificed it and then recast it again on something else due to your commander's ability. So I think that's pretty good here as well. Your win condition, Tiny Bones joins up. Now, this, we were talking about like ways to win the game before we started recording, and found that this is basically like, this and Meat Hook Massacre are basically it for the deck. And there was a card I was looking just to like see what might exist out there. And so I just put in Constellation to like see what type of effect, because Constellation is a mechanic from Theros that says whenever an enchantment enters the battlefield under your control, do something. Right. And so there's a common from Journey into Nyx called Grim Guardian that says whenever Grim Guardian or another enchantment enters the battlefield under your control, each opponent loses one life. It's also an enchantment creature. So I thought this might be an interesting, spicy include, one of those dumb, fun cards that you could cut Grand Abolisher for. No, that's the spiciest take.
That's the spiciest take, that this forgotten common from Journey to Nyx is better than Grand Abolisher.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not. But like I said, this is where you do the testing. Like, you test with this and then you cut something, or if it proves that it's valuable enough, you know, then you cut something else to throw Grand Abolisher back in. But this is something that you can pull from your graveyard with your commander's ability. And then as you're pushing for your, like, because here's the thing, Abdel Atrian just doesn't win the game on its own. Either does Leonic Relic Warder. So in order, like, you need a death trigger, you need an ETB trigger, you need something like a payoff for those combos in order to win the game. So Abdel Atrian does create infinite 1/1s. Right, but then you have to go all the way around the table one more time in order to attack with them. If you don't have Meat Hook Massacre or you don't have Tiny Bones joins up on the battlefield, you're not winning that game. So having another source of like a redundant effect, it is a little outside of what the, like, because Tiny Bones is one mana, right? And then Meat Hook Massacre is two mana. So it's kind of one of those things where this would be three mana. It is a creature. You can still hit it. But it is the redundancy you might need in order to win the game, right? So that's where I see it. It could be one of those, like I said, fun, dumb things. Test it out. Give it a shot. Who knows? Might be in the Menace build. But and Grand Abolisher would be missing. So as you go through the enchantment, Blind Obedience, copy artifact is also here. I like this. This is just one of those really great things, since One Ring is everywhere. You know, you can just, for two mana from your graveyard, copy a One Ring, give yourself card advantage. This would also proc the One Ring protection, since you are technically casting the copy artifact. So it's one of those, like, I remember when I was playing Zakama back in the day, someone cast a Cursed Mirror and had it enter as Zakama, and they just untapped all their lands and, you know, in response to the untap trigger. So that's my experience with casting ETB effects, stuff like that. Yeah. Get that One Ring trigger, baby. All right. Dance of the Dead here. This is one of your two reanimation spells along with Animate Dead. Dress Down. Now this, I love. I've always been a big fan of Dress Down. It, for one in a blue, you have an enchantment with Flash. Hey. That when Dress Down enters the battlefield, draw a card. Creatures lose all abilities at the beginning of the end step. Sacrifice Dress Down. This saves the game. It's also instant speed. One thing you'll notice where I think there's still like room to build and magnify the power of this commander is that the Master of Keys doesn't care about timing. Like, it doesn't just say like you can only cast these spells as sorceries. Escape isn't like that. So as long as the enchantment has Flash or you have something like Valley Floodcaller, which is not present here in the list, you can.
I think this and the other list both have that in there, considering though the Floodcaller.
Yes. Yeah. So at some point they just decided to cut Floodcaller for Grand Abolisher, and that's cool, whatever. But
you hate Grand Abolisher.
It's, I don't
want to abolish Grand Abolisher.
I don't hate it. I just think that it's cuttable to test. Anyway, if you disagree with that, leave a comment. Boom. Engagement. All right. Master of Keys also is not like restricted timing. So like things with Flash are like very much like they're very viable, where it not only does it increase your potential levels of interaction and all this stuff. Yeah, I think that it can also come out of nowhere where, you know, it's just like your opponent does something. They have the information. They don't remember that it's there. Master Keys allows you to bow, Dress Down right there. Draw a card. Boom. Schwabadoo. Yeah, I like that design space. I think more like Valley Floodcaller, again, really good. Like, could help magnify the power of the deck. You have Ripples of Undeath from Modern Horizons 3. This was one of the cards that was spec'd almost immediately once Master of Keys came out. One in a black at the beginning of your pre-combat main phase, mill three cards. Then you may pay one and three life. If you do, put a card from among those cards into your hand.
Hey, good on its own and synergizes with the commander.
Yep, you do have to feed a little mana to it. You do have to feed a little life to it, but you do sort of keep it like you only get one of the three cards that you mill, but this does like prevent you from like milling cards you'd rather have in your hand, you know, to the graveyard. I do like this quite a bit. It allows you to keep your instants alive, your interaction pieces in your hand. And it, I think this is super underappreciated. That information of being like, oh, I milled, you know, Force of Will to the graveyard. I will pay one in three life and put it back in my hand. It lets the table know that not like you're not just going to let anything slide. Like it lets them know you have interaction. You can interact with at least one thing. I think that's really good. Sometimes giving that information away. It's what good political players do, is be like, I wouldn't do that, and I'll show you why. I'm not even going to use this right now, but here is a Force Will in my hand. Look at it. Everyone know? Everyone got it? Okay. Don't do anything. I will interact
with
it.
Here's an offer you can't refuse. You can't refuse it.
Exactly. Right? That's why giving that information out from time to time is good. It's why other players having information in regards to what is happening around the game isn't always the worst in your worst interest. You can sometimes, I've seen players keep their hands low, you know, to like not say like, hey, look at my hand, but they are putting their hand lower than normal to give information away. So we have Steel Enchantment. I think this is also really, this is one of those cards where it is conditional. It doesn't have flash. It's one of those things where you're probably just trying to steal a Rhystic Study. Like 99% of the time, you're just trying to steal something of that sort. You have Meat Hook Massacre here, which is not necessarily recastable because it's really hard to get rid of enchantments once you play them, but you can still pay the X like from the graveyard with the Master of Keys. So that's another thing that I think is really good about this is that it's your win condition and it can also be a board wipe that you cast from the graveyard or a toxic deluge of sorts. Mirror Maid, another, this is a copy effect for 3 mana from the graveyard that enables with your commander. I'm not sure how relevant it is at all times, but it's a good card. It's a good card.
Hey, it's another the One Ring.
Potentially. That does give you proc that protection. So, yeah, it helps you reset the One Ring, too, if it's in danger of threatening your life. Yeah, Necromancy. This is another enchantment reanimation effect that can combo with Abdel Adrian. Pretty good there. And Relic Warder, and it also has flash, conditional flash in a way, you know, like the text on it is very confusing, but ultimately you can cast it at instant speed, but you have to sacrifice it and the creature at the end step. So that doesn't matter. You're probably not making it to the end step because you're going to win the game using it if you're using it instant speed. So another sort of reanimation effect that you can abuse with Master Keys. It's one of the better cards in the list. Now, my favorite card in this, the most creative build we've seen yet for Master Keys that has placed the best, is Out of the Tombs. 2 and a black. Enchantment. At the beginning of your upkeep, put 2 Eon counters on Out of the Tombs. Then, mill cards equal to the number of Eon counters on it. If you would draw a card while your library has no cards in it, instead return a creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield. If you can't, you lose the game. This is from Warhammer. This is one of the best. This is, for, in my opinion, one of the best cards from Warhammer. Also one of the best cards in this deck. Because not only does it feed what you're trying to do, when you finally get down to the bottom of your library, it is also protection against, like, when you go through and you draw your entire library with, like, Teferi and Displacer Kitten, right? You throw the Thassa's Oracle into the graveyard, like, and you go to draw that additional card. This protects you from, like, things like Kenrith forcing you to draw and lose, or, like, an Esper Sentinel potentially, like, ruining your win. Like, forced draw effects are out there, and people do consider them when putting them in their build, because like they can just straight up force an opponent to lose. Like, that is the upside of a forced draw effect. Out of the Tombs, protection against that, especially in a deck that is completely focused on, well, not completely, but somewhat focused on milling out your entire library and then putting a Thassa's Oracle onto the stack to potentially win. So I really like this card. I think it's great. I think it's really cool. Really cool tech here. It, for me, none of the, like, I think the other decks had it in the considering. I think this is an auto include for this build. Like, that's how good it is. Family. All right. Touch of Spirit Realm. channel. It's really good. You should consider playing this if you are in white. And Smothering Tithe. The best form of mana generation in CDH, I think, right now. Yeah. You can't be punished for it. Dockside can't punish you. Lands. The final section here of this CDH breakdown. The one thing that really upsets me and why I'm pissed off all the time when I'm talking about Master Keys is that almost nobody is running Sarah's Sanctum. Kills me. Destroys me. They're not playing it. Why? But Ancient Tomb, Arid Mesa, a bunch of fetches, Cephalid Coliseum, City of Brass, Command Tower, blah, 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 blah. No Sarah's Sanctum! There's no Sarah's Sanctum here, man.
No Hall of Heliod's Generosity.
None of that. None of that. Odawara is here. Otherwise, it's just simple, boring lands. All right. That kills me a little bit inside. All right. There's a considering board as well. I'll make sure to put this deck list in the description below. Flash. Any final thoughts on the Master of Keys outside of it, outside of the Dom Toretto Secret Lair alternate art that we're going to get in the near future?
No, man. I think it's just huge potential here. I just don't think it's been cracked.
Exactly.
You know, the good stuff pile isn't specific enough to the commander.
Yeah. I think that's ultimately where my frustration, and that is the perfect translation of my frustration. Is that this is a commander that has a very unique effect that deserves a little bit more thought and process and practice and testing before we can consider it the best, you know, off meta commander that exists out there right now. Like, there's so much that, you're right, it still needs to be completely cracked open, and maybe the cards don't exist right now. That's also completely possible. Maybe I'm mad at nothing outside of it not being 2 years in the future when the proper cards come out. But we will have forgotten all about it by then. So this is a deck that if you love it, if you read it and it speaks to you, put in, like, it just needs work put in. I think that's it. I think the more reps it gets, its conversion rate right now, not good. Not good. But that does not mean it's impossible for this deck to thrive in the meta and potentially, like, increase its conversion rate. I am just looking at, like, the where it's placed, and the first six placements are top 16, or, like, the top six placements are top 16, right? But then, or seven, but then after that, it's just like 19th, 19th, 26th, 28th. Scroll down a little bit further, 78th, 89th, 150th. It's like, man, this deck is just going to big tournaments and just not seeing the success that I think, you know, these players are obviously throwing things at the wall, you know, trying to see what works, but it just, we're almost there. You know, like, I think one or two cards make this deck really, really something else. Yeah. It's ultimate. Yeah. I think when the Menace version comes out, it'll be something that truly revolutionizes the way this deck works, and everyone will get on board and realize, man, that guy was right. Esper Goodpile. You know what? Not as good as completely Rube Goldberg machined enchantment nonsense commander. That is the optimal route. Yes. I see it now. All right. This has been the Mock Stars podcast, the number one podcast on the internet for Magic the Gathering and Dr. Pepper. If you forgot where you're at, you can find us on YouTube, where you can like, subscribe, and ring that bell for more notifications. Support the show, help us get to 400 subscribers, And you can also support us on Patreon by becoming an official Pepperhead, $3 a month. We're also revamping our Patreon program at the top of the year. So if you get in now, you'll have the opportunity to get into two more giveaways before we revamp the platform. You can also be for $3 a month, official cherry or official Pepperhead. You get your name Dr. Pepper Red on the Discord server, so make sure to join up there as well. And then you can become a cherry vanilla Pepperhead like Will Rule, K Mr. K, UWB Quirt, Demon 82, Tommy Cipher, Jacob Hibbard, The Boogie Ghost, Pool Boy Barry, Draw for Turn, KB, Maybe Jeremy, and Maybe Anthony. You get two entries into each of the bi-weekly giveaways, and your name turns a little bit more cherry colored on the platform. So you get a cherry Dr. Pepper name on Discord. And yeah, we got Revenlift hanging out in the Mockstars Dr. Pepper Lounge, gaining exclusive access to our Nyagai Gonna Do hats and the exclusive access to the Dom Toretto secret lair. That's you have it in your hands. Don't tell anybody. Don't show anybody. Don't take pictures. Don't put it on the internet. It's your exclusive right being in the Mockstars Dr. Pepper Lounge. So just keep that one to yourself. All right? Cool cards. We should maybe reskin. We should do that. All right. Flash, anything before we get out of here?
Family.
Nothing stronger than family. Nothing stronger than family here at the Mockstars Podcast. You can also find us on all major podcasting platforms. We have tokens. We have tokens. I did not forget. You forgot. They're the raddest tokens. They're on screen. They're super cool by our buddy Death Milk Designs out there, just doing some of the craziest, wackiest, most unique AI art on the market. We're really grateful for the work you put in making these tokens the most badass, and they look even better in person. So if you'd like a set, join the Discord server, reach out to Menace there, and we'll get some in your hands. All right, this has been the Mockstars Podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and don't forget to support the show. We love you. Bye
bye.